Stephen Beck, welcome to El Microscopio.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
Okay, well, this interview is going to be about Personal Genome Project. And our first question is, why do you think that sharing personal genomes will enable advances in understanding human genetics?
Well, I think it is very important that this information is being shared for several reasons. I mean, one, it is obvious that the more people have access to this data, the more progress is likely to be made. This is well documented, and it follows already a principle which is well established in publishing. We have, for many years, we have seen open access publishing, and it has become obvious that those articles are very, very popular, I think, with scientists, because you can access them from home at any time when you need them, and it is measurable that this type of faster information flow accelerates the research as well.
What do you think about sharing personal data from participants, and this improvement, will this improve our understanding of genomes?
Yes, clearly, of course, the aim of the project. What we have, if we want to understand, and this is, I think, where the drive and the interest in many, many countries currently is to improve personal and medical genomics. So the idea is that genomics in one form or another will transform healthcare and possibly give us better information on how to live our lives. And that can only really be brought about if the information on genomics that we have available is linked to the phenotypic data and trait data of the same individual. If we only have sequence data, but we don't have all the other medical information for this individual, we cannot link and work out which of the genetic variants are the most important for this particular trait or phenotype. And the problem we currently have is that most of the projects that have generated this data is not available under open access. It is only available under managed access, and that means only very few people will be granted access to this, which in turn slows down the progress that can be made on research. So our philosophy is that we want to use the same principle which has been so successfully used as part of the Human Genome Project, where all the sequence is being made free and publicly available instantaneously. We will make now the personal genome data that is attached to the personal data of trait and medical information from the same individual is made available on the same basis. And that is this revolutionary new concept, because only the Personal Genome Project is the only project in the world where this type of linked information, genomic information plus medical and trait information and environmental information is made together, is being made available freely on the internet. There is no other project like it. There are projects where you can have either medical information or sequence information, but you don't get them linked, and you never get them linked in open access to everyone. It has not happened until now.
All right, and there is a base project in Harvard, but what other countries participate in this project, and can anyone join it?
Yes, so the Personal Genome Project is an international project, and the reason why it is conducted in different countries, like in Harvard is the US version of PGP, in Toronto is the Canadian version of PGP, and here at UCL in London is the British version of the PGP. And there are 10 more countries currently in the process of setting up their national PGP. So by the end of the year, we could see 10 PGPs going online. The reason why it is not possible to have a single PGP, international PGP, if you want, for all countries, is that different countries have different ethical approval guidelines, and there is no international ethics committee that can give international ethical approval. In other words, ethical approval is bound by national boundaries, and therefore we have only approval to analyze British citizens. The US has only approval to do US citizens, Canada, Canadian citizens. So that's why the project is broken up according to countries, because of the ethical consent. And it makes the logistics easier as well. If you consider if it would be an international project, the logistics would be much more complicated. So that's why we have the different projects, and everyone can participate in that. We have an international registration site, which is on the Harvard, on the pgp.org site, on the umbrella organization, personalgenomes.org, on the main site. And if people want to register there, they can pick which country. And if their country that they live in or are resident of has currently no PGP, it will be registered. And if lots of names get registered under a particular country, we can see this, and we can then try to get someone in this country interested to initiate a PGP project. That was, for instance, the case for us in the UK as well, where about 300 UK individuals had already registered on the international site and expressed interest in being participants. And when that number hit sort of 300, it became a large enough number that we could say there is interest. We really should move ahead and set up a UK version of the PGP, which was one of the motivations really to do that. And we did that. If people from Argentina would like to participate, they go to the website, the international website for PGP, and they register under Argentina. We can see when we look at the database, we can say how many people from Argentina have indicated interest to have such a project. And if there's only one person interested, it would probably be premature to start a PGP project. But once you have 100 people or more interested and say we all would be interested to have a project, then we would probably have a look at Argentina and see who is actually in best placed and may be interested to do this. And we would contact them by email and say, listen, from our international side, we know there are 300 people interested. You work in this field. You have published there. Would you be interested in considering setting up a PGP? And we help people along with all the paperwork. And, of course, the more people have done it, the easier it becomes for the others to set up a project like this. So it will be very feasible for Argentina to set up its own personal genome project.
So the person who is giving his DNA information, is it a free service? Is this person charged?
No, it's not. So it is, the PGP is a non-profit organization, and the participation is free. So there is no cost attached to the individual to participate in the project. Well, then, if you're interested, you can get the ball rolling by going to the Harvard site, the main site, and register under your name and under your country, Argentina. And if nobody else has registered, you would be the first person on the list for Argentina. And when, as I say, if about 100 people or so have registered, then it will the program will alert us to the effect that there is a significant interest of participants in this country, in Argentina, and then we can try and see if somebody in Argentina would be willing to lead such a project and organize it.
We know that DNA methylation was linked to cancer 25 years ago. What do we know today about cancer methylation?
That's correct. That was a landmark paper that linked DNA methylation for the first time to cancer. And since then, we have had thousands and tens of thousands of reports confirming that in cancer, DNA methylation is very much changed, is altered. What we so far still only know is that the differential methylation in cancer is associated with cancer, but we have not shown, nobody has yet shown that it causes cancer. So there is no causative relationship that has been shown. So it could all be a consequence of the cancer, but I think there's a great belief that it also contributes towards cancer in one way or another. But this is very difficult to tease out, and we and many other groups are interested in analyzing cancer epigenomes and cancer methylomes to try and figure out if there is a causative contribution. That is sort of the holy grail that you want to see. If cancer can be caused by methylation, then methylation, of course, is much easier to change back into a normal state than a mutation. And that is of high therapeutic value if that's the case. So I think the jury is out there to still find and try to pin down any causative mechanism that changes where methylation changes will then cause either cancer or cause progression to certain types of cancer. And I have to say, in many of the personal genome projects that we talked about, the epigenome and particularly the methylome will also be measured. It's not just the genome. When we talk about the genome, we talk about it in generic terms because most people will understand what the genome is, but many people will not know what the methylome is. But in the case of the UK, what we will do is, for each individual, we will sequence the genome, the methylome, and the transcriptome. So all three will be done and integrated to provide the baseline for the analysis, not just the genome.
Will methylation have an impact on cancer diagnosis?
Yes. So that's, I think, where it already has impact. So methylation is a very powerful biomarker that can distinguish between healthy and diseased tissue. It can also be used as a surrogate in liquid biopsies, in blood-based analysis to predict if an individual has cancer. And in effect, there are already commercial products on the market that are being used for screening individuals, for instance, for colorectal cancer. So there are already commercial products out there that can be used, and this is a very fast evolving field. So we can see, I think, many more biomarkers, epigenetic biomarkers, which are either DNA methylation or other epigenetic marks that will be highly informative for either detecting cancer or for the prognosis if cancer has already established. And of course, the more we know about cancer, the more we will be able to do about it.
Thank you very much, Dr. Beck. You will be at the World Lab Congress, the ISCC World Lab Congress this year in Istanbul. What's the name of the presentation you're giving there?
I think the presentation is currently called Probing the Cancer Methylome.
All right, so we are looking forward to listening to your presentation, and we'll meet there in Istanbul. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Bye-bye.